Turn to your neighbor. I didn't tell you what to say yet, did I? Y'all are just staring at each other. turn to your neighbor and tell them that I'm glad I'm here today. I'll tell them I'm glad you're here today. You need it. You can say that last part. You need it. We all need it, don't we? Well, if you will, take your Bible and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. The children may be dismissed at this time to children's church. And as they're going, if you will take your Bible, and as Dwayne said, we'll be talking about our bond together. And the title of this sermon this morning is, He is Our Peace. He is Our Peace. That's what we'll be talking about this morning. In Ephesians 2. We'll begin in verse 11, so if you would stand with me as we read together God's Word. The Word says, therefore, remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, and that was not a word that they were calling in a polite way, called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God and the world. That's a desperate situation, isn't it? But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. Underline that in your Bibles if you have a pen or pencil. He himself is our peace, who made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two. So, making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word once again. We thank you that we could come to it, be instructed. Lord, I pray this morning that we would see the peace that we have with you, the peace that we have with one another, all because of the Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would give me the ability to preach and to instruct, and I pray that you would do so by your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would quicken your word to each and every heart, including my own, so that we might hear what you have for us. Lord, we're not here for ourselves. We're here for you. And so we ask that you would move in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. He is our peace. You may be seated. The history of the world is a history of division, fighting, and warfare, is it not? And that's been taking place since the beginning, but it seems only to be increasing. We just came through a political season where if you get to the end of it and they do all their polls and they profile everybody. Did you notice that? Everybody fits into a profile. You're either an uneducated white person or you're a really highly educated Hispanic person, or you are a community college, or maybe you are a person that likes to eat turkey on Thanksgiving, or maybe you are a person that gathers together with other friends and talks about your chocolate. I mean, if you sat down, you watched, if you watched the election results, they had a profile for just about anything imaginable, didn't they? I mean, some of them, you scratch your head and you think, how in the world did they come up with that? That person, if they said if a person wore their socks inside out on Tuesday and upside down on Wednesday, then they voted this certain way. Yes, I'm being, y'all are a tough crowd. I'm being a little bit overdramatic here, but sometimes you look at those things and you think, wow, they divide you up and pigeonhole everybody into this certain little area. And all it does is create more and more division and more animosity. And yet the Bible says that He is our peace. You know, you've probably heard this story by now because it was profiled a couple of years ago in a commercial, but on December 25th, 1914, World War I had just begun. That was the first year of World War I, and the battle lines were drawn. The truces and the alliances of the different countries had come together, and they had gotten bogged down. They thought it was going to be a quick war, and they quickly found out that the machinery and the advancements in technology had changed warfare, and they got bogged down in trenches, drawing trenches and in no man's land in between. They were lobbing shells back and forth at one another. But on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, something interesting happened on the front lines. Oh, for the generals and for the kings and for the leaders of their countries, they were still at war. But there on the front lines, on that first Christmas Day of World War I, in many places all over, the soldiers came out of their trenches and celebrated Christmas Day together. Reports of exchanges of candy, German chocolate for English cigars or tobacco, or the ball games that began to come up, or even just the simple tunes of Silent Night sung in two different languages echoed forth. You say, why? Just the day before, they were trying to kill each other. And because of their generals and their leaders and their countries, the day after they were trying to kill each other, why on this day did they cease all that and suddenly find something in common? It was all because of that boy in a manger, the Lord Jesus Christ, years before, was it not? And so they called a truce to commemorate that moment. Only if they had only remembered that He is our peace, it could have ended right there, but they didn't. Well, it's for us to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is our peace. He's our peace then, He's our peace now, and He is the one that binds us together. I want you to look with me in verse 11. Paul makes mention of these divisions. Back then, they had divisions just like we had divisions now. Back then, they had people trying to classify one another and say, well, you're this over here and you're that over there, just like they do now. And that's what he's talking about in verse 11. He says, therefore, remember that at that time, you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision. What he's talking about is the Jews had a covenant passed down to them, given to their father Abraham, And they saw that as the sign of being in fellowship with God. But Paul makes mention that this covenant was a covenant made by human hands. It was a process, the circumcision of the little boys on the eighth day in the Jewish faith took place by human hands, and therefore it was a human sign. Yes, God gave it to Abraham, but Paul said that was an external sign. That's not the internal sign. But he said that division took place, and the Jews began to think of Gentiles as those who were the outcast. The term the uncircumcised was equated with the unclean, the unwashed, those who could not come near to God. In fact, if you were to go to the Jewish temple, and you were to look and see how they had it arranged. Back in the Old Testament, God had given them a pattern. And in His pattern, He had just prescribed three different areas. He had described an area for the altar, and that was inside this curtain. The priest went in there, and the people went in there and brought their sacrifices. That was the outer court. And then He had the tabernacle itself, and in it there were two areas. There was the holy place, and only the priest could go in there and minister. And then there was the Holy of Holies, where the Lord's presence was Himself. And only one time a year could the high priest go in there and make atonement for the people of Israel. Well, as time went on, they developed other divisions. And by the time of Jesus, when Herod built this great temple in honor of the Jews, he followed the pattern that the Jews requested, and what they had was a certain divisions that were added in. They added in an area that they called the Court of Women. In other words, Jewish women could come in there, but they could only go so far because past there, the men were only allowed to go. And then there was the area for the priest, and then there was the area of the Holy of Holies. And so they separated out the women and said, you can only come so far. But outside that, they had another division. They called it the Court of the Gentiles. What that was for is it was a place for if you were a God-fearing person who was not Jewish born, you could come and you could worship, but you had to stand afar off. And they had this wall erected, and they had gates in the wall, and in these gates they had these stone markers with engraved writing that said, he who enters past this point, not being a Jew, does so at the risk of his own life. In fact, they had made it such that they said that if you go beyond this barrier, we will kill you if you are a Gentile. This is only for the Jews. That was the barrier that was erected. That was the wall of hostility that was in place. And so, Paul is writing and he references that. He says that's the wall of hostility. God did not command that to be built, but over time, man put it in place. They were trying to keep others out from coming as near to the Lord. Now, you say, what does that matter now? That's not there now. Well, it mattered during this time because the temple, when Paul wrote that, the temple was still in place. And so they were trying to understand how they could come near to worship God. And Paul's saying, listen, Jesus is your peace. He's torn all this down. And so what I want you to see is, first of all, two things. And first of all, I want you to see that Christ has brought us peace with God. He says here that at one time, you and I were without hope. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers from the covenants of promise. What's he talking about? He's saying that back in the Old Testament, God came to Abraham. He gave him a covenant promise. And he worked through the nation of Israel. And his goal was for the nation of Israel to spread the glory of God throughout all the world. Their problem was they kept it bottled up and only for themselves. And they didn't do that very well either. But his goal was that his house would be a house of prayer for all nations, that all people could come and worship before the Lord, and that they would look and see how God had worked in the nation of Israel, and they would turn to him in repentance and faith. His goal was to point them to the day that he would send his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but they didn't. But he says here that we who are on the outside, we who are Gentiles, we had no hope. Have you ever been in a place where you are without hope? When you think there is no possible way, there is nothing that can be done. There are people all over this world that are without hope. And when somebody is without hope, they have no peace inside. If you have no hope, there is only fear and despair. And Paul says that at one time you and I were without hope. There was no way we can be reconciled to God, but the Lord Jesus Christ was sent. But God sent his Son, and he reconciled us to himself through the blood of his Son. Look with me in verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by what? The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ was shed for you. The blood of Christ was shed for me. The blood of Christ was shed for the Jew. The blood of Christ was shed for the Gentile. The blood of Christ was shed for every person in this world. As John said, he is the propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus died for everyone. And that's good news. That's hope. Jesus brought peace. Paul said in Romans 5:10, when we were still enemies, even while we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What kind of God is this who seeks out his enemies and says, I'm going to bring them peace. I'm going to bring them back into relationship with myself. That's the God that we serve. The incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ was the hope for peace in a troubled world. You remember, in a couple of weeks we're going to be celebrating this, when Christ was born. You were there, right? No, none of us were there, but it's been passed down to us. And I love the Christmas story. I love the picture that it presents. I love Luke chapter 2, where it says shepherds were in their fields abiding at night, keeping watch. You remember that passage? And the Lord Jesus Christ is there, born in the little town of Bethlehem. And suddenly, while they're outside, they're preparing these sheep who will one day, the sheep are supposed to grow up and become sacrifices themselves. The angel comes to them and declares to them good news. He says, don't be afraid. I've got great news for you. Unto you, shepherds, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. And he told them how to find him, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then the Bible says that suddenly there was with them a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill towards those in whom he is pleased. Peace towards those in whom he is pleased to declare his truth. Peace towards those whom he is been well pleased to give his son. Peace to you. Now, think with me for a moment. Who gathered around that manger? You had around that manger a lowly carpenter and a young girl. You had around that manger shepherds, by no means rich men. But you also, later on, had around the birth of Christ wise men, royalty from a far country. You had around that manger Jews, and you had around that manger Gentiles who were brought in, all together coming to one place to worship the peace that God had sent to the world. He was born for you and I. And the greatest peace, the greatest source of peace, the greatest need that we have is to be reconciled to God. Simeon, in the temple a few days later, said when he held up the Lord Jesus Christ, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory for your people Israel. What he was saying is that this child was born for all, not just for a few. And now, in our Lord Jesus Christ, because he went to the cross, because he lived that perfect life, because he is the God-man, the mediator between us and the Father, the one who was sent so that we might have our sins forgiven, he gave himself on the cross, stretching out his hands and so making peace for you and I for all eternity. He is our peace. We were once far off. You and I, if we were living under the old system, we could not have come near to the presence of God. We would have been shut out. We would have been told, don't come any farther or you will die. But now, God sends his son and says, no, I will die for you so that you might be reconciled to me. He is our peace. And in him, because of his blood, we now are reconciled to God. Is that not good news? But not only are we reconciled to God, we're reconciled to one another. Our greatest need is reconciliation with God. Our greatest need is that we've been separated from Him, and now in Christ, that's been covered, that's been paid, that's been rectified, because now we can come to the Father and we can say, Daddy, Father, we can call Him Lord, we can call Him our Father, because He has brought us near by His blood. But not only did He bring us near, He also joined us together. Look with me in the next verse. He says that He broke down the dividing wall of hostility, abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making what? Peace. He's saying that I might reconcile these two different groups that were divided, that were hostile to one another. The Jews hated the Gentiles. They hated the Romans. The Romans were the ones who were oppressing them. And yet here, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He stretched out His hands upon the cross, is dying not only for the Jewish man, for the Jewish woman at the foot of the cross, He's also dying for the Roman centurion. He's also dying for the Greek passing by who desecrated their land in their mind. He's also dying for you, and He's also dying for me. He has reconciled and brought them together in one body. Church, Christ brought peace with God. Christ also brings peace with man. In this time, when we live in a divided world, there is only one answer for peace, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what He says. He says, I brought them together in one body. They once were two, I brought them together in one body. What body is that? The body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Listen, this is not my church. Look at me. This is not your church. This church is Christ's church. And Jesus said, I will build what? My church. And the gates of hell won't prevail against it. You and I have been made members of His body. And that's good news. See, if I was up here saying, listen, I want you to come become a member of my church, I would not have much to offer you. If you were out there saying to other people, listen, come join my church. Yes, this is our local gathering of the greater church around the globe, but this is not in reality our church. This is the Lord's church. And our task is to get aboard with what He wants. I'm to prayerfully seek, Lord, what do You want for Your church here in Trinity, located in Trinity? And so are you. You're to say, Lord, thank You for allowing me to be part of Your body represented at Trinity Baptist Church. What do You want me to do in regards to it? This is His church. And that's good news because He's united us together in one body. He does not want us separated. He wants us in peace together. You can say amen at that. Now, I want you to notice how He separated us. He says in verse 16, He might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Thereby killing the hostility. In other words, what Jesus did is He sought out where there was hostility, He went there and He made peace. He said, I'm going to die there. And because of my death, I'm going to bring them together. And I'm going to rise again and create one new body, one glorious body, the church. You know what this means? This means that you and I are connected for all eternity to believers, true, genuine believers in the Lord Jesus Christ all around this globe, all throughout the ages. That's a truth that we need to, it's hard to get our minds to wrap around. But you could be going down the street, or you could be going to another country, and you encounter somebody that knows Christ Jesus as Lord, and you will have an instant connection with them. If they love Christ and you love Christ, you may not even be able to speak the same language. But you will be joined together. I've seen that happen. I've had the privilege of going to other countries, and I don't even know how to speak the language. And yet, because they love Christ and they're worshiping God in their language, and because I love Christ and I'm worshiping with them in English, we're joined together. And we can have communion and fellowship together because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace, not warfare, with one another. That's good news. That's great news. A couple of years ago, I had the privilege of going to Haiti. And one of the things that I loved about being in Haiti was hearing them worship. I didn't understand a word in some of the songs they were saying. And occasionally they would say Señor and Cristo, but their language was French, or a derivative of French, and I don't know a lick of French other than we. And yet, worshiping there with brothers and sisters in Christ was a privilege. There was an old man who, one year we went, and he came to know the Lord through our witnessing, and the next year we were back and we were doing a service project, and he came hobbling up on a cane, and I had the privilege of leading him in the sinner's prayer through a translator the year before, and here he was, and everywhere I went, he stayed right beside me, and he would look at me and smile, and he'd say, we, I'd say, you and I together, brothers in the Lord, we didn't know how to communicate other than we had the same Savior. Our skin color was different, but we had the same Lord. Oh, the world would try to divide us, but Christ has brought us together. He's made peace through his blood. Not only are we brought together in one body, we are also brought together in one spirit. Look with me in verse 18. For through him we both have access in one spirit. To the Father. So then you're no longer strangers and aliens. You're fellow citizens with the saints. And you're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. You and I are being built together in one spirit, the Holy Spirit. We share a common bond, the Holy Spirit. And you and I are being built together in one building. You know, I think sometimes when we get to heaven, there'd be some that'd like to say, Lord, yeah, I know so-and-so was a believer, but could you put his mansion on the other side of heaven? I don't want to be close to him. Be careful. Christ has brought us together through one blood, and he's called us to live together in honor of him. He's building us together, the word says, for one dwelling place for himself. What that means is that every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who has come and they've placed their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they've repented of their sin and they've accepted his payment on their behalf. Everyone has been called together and God's building his church. He's building this church. You look around you this morning, the people that are here were placed here by your Lord. Well, it got really quiet. Let me say that again. The people you see around you were placed here at this time by your Lord. He's called you. Thank you, Miss Louise. He's called us together. He's building us together. Why? For his glory, for his greater purpose. Now, sometimes we can get sidetracked on other issues. But if Christ is the center, if we say he's our peace, then that leaves out us dividing ourselves along classes of how much money we make, along what we look like, along skin color, even along the language that we use, because we're all joined together in Him. The only thing that we have to say, and what we always hold to, is the doctrinal truth of who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what that means in our life. We're called together to pursue Him and to glorify His name. He's our peace. He's the one that brought us together with God, and He's the one that's building us together with one another. So you say, as we enter this Christmas season, well, Brother Nathan, sometimes I don't feel at peace. I was talking with somebody yesterday who said they requested prayer for them and their wife, and they said, I don't always feel like loving her. And I said, doesn't matter. You promised her before the Lord you would love her. And you tell her you love her, and the feeling comes later. Love is first in action. Well, there may be times in the life of a church when we say, Lord, I don't know about that person over there. Doesn't matter. If they're a believer and you're a believer, God's called you to love them. And God's called you to pursue peace with them. There may be times in your life when you say, Brother Nathan, I just feel all bound up inside. I'll tell you why that happens. Because sometimes I do too. Sometimes I get fear and anxiety and it begins to attack. And it's because I've taken my eyes off of the source of peace. The one who, first of all, has reconciled me to God, and second of all, has joined me with a body of believers so we can mutually love, support, and encourage one another towards the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning? In closing this morning, if you're here today, I'm going to talk to believers first. If you're here today, and you obviously are, most of us here are believers, this passage, Ephesians chapter 2, says that we're to be reconciled first to God, and we're to walk in peace with fellow believers. That's not always easy, I know that. And yet, that's what He's called us to. And so, if you're here today and the Lord has pricked your mind about somebody you're not at peace with, or maybe you're fearful in heart about things, you say, Lord, I need peace, and I want peace in this relationship. Would you, as much as possible, help me to be at peace with those that you love? That's God's calling through this passage. If you're here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, then the first part of this message was for you. The first part of this message said that you are right now without hope, but you can have hope. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are destined for eternity without God. That's destined for a devil's hell, destined for a place of torment. But there is hope if you will receive the Lord Jesus Christ, because He went to the cross and He made peace for you between God the Father and you. As Becky begins to play, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as Savior, I would love to pray with you and introduce you to the Prince of Peace.